Southern California tour of the Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio. This is part of their tour, and tonight there's another event, the last event. Today is the last day. The event tonight is at 6 p.m. at the
Echo Park Film Center.
Echo Park Film Center, and they're going to be showing a video about their participation in La Otra Campaña and the response from the Comandante Marcos. So if you have time, definitely go and check it out. For those who don't know the Eastside Cafe, we are an autonomous space here in El Sereno. We believe that we have the power and the knowledge, the community has the power and the knowledge to decide our destiny. We are self-governing, self-determined. We're not a nonprofit. We don't receive money from foundations. So it's always hard to pay the rent. So we have a sustainership program that if you would like to be part of it, talk to me later. We have several collectives working out from the Eastside Cafe. We have the Jaraneros, the Cafeteras, several classes of San Jarocho. We have ESL classes, Spanish classes, and the Eastside Cafe hosts different groups and different collectives of the community. I want to let you know that there's some shirts that we're selling for the tour, Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio. We also have tostadas, and whatever we make from the tostadas will be towards the rent of the Eastside Cafe. And what else did I have to say? They told me to say so many things that maybe I forget. Well, I guess this is it. I'm very happy that you're here, and I'm very happy that Juan is here because we share the same principles. The principles of the Eastside Cafe with the principles of the Movimiento por Justicia en el Barrio. We are both Zapatista inspired. We both believe in autonomy and horizontality. That everybody knows everything in the community. So please help me to welcome Juan Caro.
¿Cómo están todos? Esta tarde. Good afternoon. Once again, my name is Juan, and I'm a woman from New York on behalf of Movement for Justice in the Barrio. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the Eastside Cafe for hosting us this afternoon, and also especially to the comité that's been organizing a tour. If maybe like the members of the comité that organized the tour could please raise their hand just so that we recognize who did all this great work to get us here. Once again, I'm here on behalf of Movement for Justice in El Barrio. Movement for Justice in El Barrio is a urban of color-led organization based out of the east part of New York City. We're made up of 400 community members that reside all in this neighborhood known as El Barrio. Unfortunately, most of our members couldn't make it, our membership could not make it here this afternoon in this piece because of the fact that most of them are undocumented immigrants, and things are getting worse at the airports in terms of domestic travel. We've done is we brought a couple of videos because to us as an organization, it's very important that the people who are leading the struggle, that they be the ones speaking at these events, whether it's in New York City, whether it's anywhere in the U.S. or abroad. So because of that, I'd like to start off by letting our members speak for themselves. This is a short 10-minute video where our members talk about their struggle. It's a march that took place a couple of months ago in our neighborhood. So here you go. Thank you.
Right now.
Mi nombre es Oscar y soy miembro del movimiento por justicia del barrio. Somos una organización de inmigrantes que luchamos por justicia social y por la humanidad. Estamos en contra de cualquier tipo de discriminación, en contra de mujeres, homosexuales, lesbianas, transgéneros y ratos de color. Luchamos en contra de los capitalistas y contra de los malos gobiernos. Estamos luchando en contra de la discriminación en nuestro barrio. Hoy nuestra dignidad la hacemos de resistencia y una vez más denunciamos las acciones de desplazamiento de familias pobres que realizan los caseros capitalistas. Quieren desalojar a las familias pobres para remodelar sus edificios y rentarlos a los apartamentos a gente rica, gente blanca con dinero. Quieren cambiar el aspecto de nuestro barrio. Quieren sacar de las calles a los vendedores ambulantes, que somos personas que hacemos un trabajo digno y honrado, a las familias que tienen sus pequeños negocios, como pequeños restaurantes, pequeñas tiendas de ropa y pequeñas bodegas en las esquinas de nuestro barrio. Quieren desalojarnos para traer sus lujosos restaurantes, sus carísimas y grandes tiendas de ropa, sus cadenas de supermercados. Quieren cambiar nuestro barrio, nuestra cultura. Quieren cambiar eso que nos hace ser afroamericanos, puertorriqueños, dominicanos, mexicanos. Quieren cambiar todo eso que nos hace ser el barrio. Hoy todos somos hermanos, todos somos mexicanos, todos somos puertorriqueños, todos somos dominicanos, afroamericanos, centroamericanos y suramericanos. Porque hoy todos estamos unidos por la misma causa. Estamos hoy aquí para dejarles saber que el pueblo no está dispuesto a seguir soportando más abuso. Exigimos un trato justo, con dignidad, para todos. ¡Alto al racismo! Queremos salvar nuestro barrio de las garras de los corruptos, que en sus miserables cerebros solo tienen sed de riqueza, sed de poder. Hoy el coraje y la decepción nos hacen más fuerte. Sinceramente, movimiento por justicia del barrio, el movimiento que mueve el corazón.
I prophesy that we all have come together as one to fight back against these building owners. We have been a melting pot of all ethnic groups for decades and have lived in the conditions in our buildings and surrounding areas, sending our kids to your schools, shopping in our home stores, and giving back to the neighborhood while still paying taxes for neglected sidewalks and security from our local police
mexicana como era. Y el gobierno local y MPD son los responsables directos de que nuestros hijos tengan altos niveles de plomo en la sangre y seamos amenazados por animales que amenazan nuestra salud.
So in this way, we wanted to introduce a little bit about what our organization is all about. Our organization is made up of simple and humble people who reside in the barrio. Many of the members that you see here are tenants who are actually the founders of the organization. The organization started in December of 2004, fighting against neoliberal gentrification. At that point in the barrio, the city was facilitating gentrification that was being initiated by slumlords, by multinational corporations, and what was happening was our community was being pushed out, was being forced out of their homes. Like the compañero there said, street vendors who were working to make an honorable living were being also kicked out of the neighborhood. Small mom and pop stores, restaurants were also being eliminated. And so it got to the point where our community got fed up and said enough is enough, we're gonna put an end to this. And that is when we began to organize building by building, block by block. And through this organizing, we launched a campaign against one of the worst landlords in New York City, a man named Stephen Kessler, multimillionaire, white slumlord who was extremely powerful. He owned 47 buildings all in our turf, all in our neighborhood. So imagine, he was very powerful. He had this very aggressive plan to force us out. Most of our membership base are tenants who live in these 47 buildings. Therefore, we began to organize committees. In each of these buildings owned by Stephen Kessler, we formed committees. And these committees operated under the principles of autonomy, self-determination, and participatory democracy. The tenants in each building would come together and democratically vote what strategy they wanted to implement against their slumlord. The conditions that the community was facing were deplorable. They were living in apartments where the ceiling was falling on their children's heads. There was lead poisoning on the walls that the children were consuming, were eating. There was no heat, hot water. These were the conditions that we're facing as a community. And we knew that this was part of Stephen Kessler's master plan to force us out of our neighborhood. There was other tactics that they were also using in an attempt to force us out, but our members decided to organize from the ground up. We launched and battled. We battled this guy for about 2 years or so, and through that, we used a multi-pronged strategy against this guy, which included protests, legal actions, marches, as the one you saw right now, and through this, we were able to achieve victory. After 2 years, the Village Voice newspaper, which is kind of like your Alley Weekly, I believe, they went ahead and did this expose on Stephen Kessler. They named him one of the 10 worst landlords of New York City. And he sat down to an interview. He rarely did any interviews. So when he sits down for an interview, he says that his only headache was movement for justice in the barrio, but that he and his family, his company, had helped build East Harlem, that they had been there for decades, and that they weren't going anywhere. 3 months later, he picked up and sold his building and got out. So for us, this was a battle of David versus Goliath. For us, you know, here we have our members are predominantly immigrants of color. Many of them, as I said before, have no papers, no immigration status, and the majority of them are monolingual Spanish speaking. And so they decided to launch this battle against this guy, and he retaliated. He retaliated with death threats, threatening with bringing in immigration authorities. He had lots of tactic to retaliate against our community, but our members are fearless. The majority of our members are women, and they led the struggle. They were on the front lines every step of the way, and they weren't scared. They never panicked. They just continued struggling until they got rid of him. So here we had a situation where this white multimillionaire wanted to force us out, and instead we turned the tables on him, and immigrants of color came together and forced him out. We believe that this would not have been accomplished if it wasn't for the fact that we were very conscious that in order to make this change occur, that we needed to build leaders from the ground up. So as an organization, we're opposed to having one leader or one activist take the lead and speak for everyone else. We have an entire program in our organization dedicated to building leadership. And what that means is, for example, we have discussions around how to speak to the media, how to give a speech, how to give a public speech, how to get our neighbors involved in the fight. But at the same time, we also have really, we have curriculum, we have a program within the organization to ensure that we're talking about what are the root causes of our struggle. We talk about capitalism, we talk about neoliberalism, we talk about the fact that this is racism at play. We also talk about what keeps us divided as a community. We talk about how in our organization, in our communities, there are divisions at play that only benefit the capitalists. That there's racial divisions, that there's gender divisions, that there's divisions based on sexual orientation, and that in order for us to not be hypocritical when we say that we're fighting for social justice, we need to talk about that and we need to address that, because not we're being hypocrites. Therefore, we're very explicitly having these conversations with the organization, but not only just talking about it, we practice what we preach. And in this next video that we're gonna show, it's gonna demonstrate how our organization decided to build bridges beyond El Barrio, beyond El Barrio, and bring together a diverse group of people that are also fighting the same struggle. Yet it might be happening in Chinatown or in the West Village, yet at the same time we understand that we all have a common enemy, and that the only way we're going to win, the only way we're going to effectively wage this battle successfully is by bringing our communities together. So therefore, inspired by the Zapatistas, we went ahead and organized the first New York City Encuentro for Dignity and Against Gentrification. We weren't sure what kind of response we were going to have. We put out the invitations for our members. They were like, you know, if we do this, we don't want it to be activist-driven. For us, one of our challenges is joining coalitions. Because oftentimes, a lot of organizations that are on our side of the struggle are led by professional activists or professional organizers that really don't have a base. So for us, it was essential that if we were going to organize an encuentro, that it be an encuentro among our peers, meaning the simple and humble people of New York City. So in order to do that, we had to be very careful every step of the way, because or else it could become dominated by activists. So what we did is, for example, our members were like, well, how do we do this? How do we make this happen? Well, why don't we go ahead and incorporate a piñata? Why don't we have a piñata, a neoliberal gentrification piñata that would attract families, would attract children? Why don't we have dinner on a Sunday night, not on a weeknight, like oftentimes many organizations, nonprofits, or whatever, housing groups come together during weekdays, right? During the day, because that's convenient for the paid organizer on staff. And so our members were like, that's not going to work. Most of our members, most of our community members, they are off on Sunday, if any. And usually it's in the evening. So this was like a deliberate plan to make this happen. We weren't 100% successful. We weren't 100% successful. In fact, the other thing we did was we did it through RSVP, and we issued tickets, four tickets, four organizations. So this was all part of this plan to kind of screen out all the activists. And so we did this, we accomplished some of it, right? But, you know, remember, like, you know, we don't want to meet with a bunch of activists who, like, speak a whole different language, right? Speak a whole different, like, activist language. We want to We want to meet with our own peers. So how do you make that happen? And that was a challenge that we think to a certain extent we met. But also it was our members saying, you know, we want to meet with the African-American community that's also fighting this same problem we're fighting. We want to meet with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community in the West Village that we understand is also struggling against the same system. We want to meet with the Asian community in Chinatown. We want to get to know them, and the best way we felt we could accomplish this is to have this encuentro. So this is the New York City encuentro for dignity and against gentrification.